morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning shiur. This morning's shiur is dedicated by Rabbi Moshe Berger on the occasion of his mother's yard site, Bava Miriam Bath Shmuel. Should be an ilui for her in the neshama. The topic of today's shiur is obviously pertaining to Chanukah as opposed to the parasha yesterday. So I figured that it would be a good time to discuss something which is a little bit troublesome, which comes up a lot, and we're beginning to see variations in this practice, and that is how exactly the menorah is lit in Chutz La'aretz. We who live in the Golos, how exactly we light the menorah. Now everybody understands, everybody knows that a menorah is lit in the house, and many people put it by the windows and so forth, but it's also known, and we will soon see, that the takana, when the rabbis originally instituted the lighting of the Chanukah menorah, was supposed to be done outside. And in fact, in Eretz Yisrael today, if a person goes to Eretz Yisrael for Chanukah, you will see that most, overwhelming majority of people light the menorahs outside their house, not inside at all. And they enclose it, and they sell these glass containers that they put it in to protect from the elements and so forth. And really, that's the way it was supposed to be. Now, we don't find anywhere in the halacha that there is a difference here between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In other words, whereas when it comes to, let's say, the observance of Yom Tov, so we know it's a well-established halacha that in Chutz La'aretz we observe 2 days of Yom Tov because of the Suffolk, which we do not do in Eretz Yisrael. Jews in Eretz Yisrael, for example, when it comes to Shavuos, have only 1 day of Shavuos. We in America have 2, and so on and so forth with the other Yom Tovim, except for Rosh Hashanah, right? There's always the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. However, when it comes to Chanukah, we don't find that, as we will see. We don't find in the poskim that any distinction being made that in Eretz Yisrael you do it this way and in Chutz La'aretz you do it that way. And I think that most people on their own understand that the reason why it's different in America officially is because of the fact that we live amongst the Goyim. But the question then presents itself, if you think about it, but okay, it's true we live amongst the Goyim, but on the other hand, we live largely in Jewish neighborhoods, in solid Jewish neighborhoods, where there really, in an environment where there really is no overt anti-Semitism. And not only that, but when it comes to other things, we don't hide our mitzvahs like many people in this neighborhood and in every neighborhood. When it comes to sukkahs, put a sukkah right in front of their house. So they have no problem doing that. A sukkah is much more noticeable. A sukkah stands for between the beginning of sukkahs all the way through the end of Simchas Torah is there for 9 or 10 days. And a menorah is only lit for a couple of hours each night. So if you could put a sukkah in front of your house, and nobody has a problem with that, and you see people even walking to shul on Shabbos, in some cases wearing talesim, or on sukkahs carrying a lulav in their hands, so why not light the menorah outside your house? Or maybe we should. Has the practice changed today as far as the custom of lighting the menorah? That is the topic that I would like to discuss in today's shiur. So first and foremost, we have to understand, we have to go to the source of the halacha in general of how the menorah is lit. So we have here, if you look in the sheet on page 1, okay, this is the Gemara Masechet Shabbos on Daf Chaf Aleph, and it says as follows. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lehanicha al Pesach beso mibachutz. That the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah light is to put it outside of your house. Pesach beso, by the entrance of your home, outside. Okay. Im hayadar ba'aliyah. On the other hand, what happens if a person does not have access to the area in front of his house because he lives in an upstairs of a 2-family house? So then, manicha b'chalon asmucha l'rishus harabim. So then, he can't put it in front of his house, so he should put it in the window, which is what we do today, although we don't have this exact situation. Should put it in the window. And then, the Gemara proceeds to say, ubishas ha-sakona menicho al-shulchano v'dayo. That in the time of sakona, then it would be sufficient for a person to place the menorah on his table. In other words, what's being said here is that the primary way that this mitzvah is supposed to be done is that the menorah is supposed to be placed outside of a person's house. That's what it says in the Gemara. Does not, the Brisa here does not make any distinction between whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. It makes no difference. It doesn't say here or anywhere. Okay? The menorah is supposed to be put outside of a person's house. However, if a person can't put it outside of his house because he doesn't, for whatever reason, it's not his area, it's not his property to put it there, so then it says, alright, let him put it in the window. And the only exemption that we would have from this would be what it says in the Brisa, that in a time of sakana, that in a time of danger, a person can put the menorah on his table and that would suffice. So that's it. There is no other discussion anywhere in the Shas about the mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candles. This is it, these three lines. In fact, the whole sugya, the whole discussion of Hanukkah in general is found over three blot in the Gemara. It's an amazing thing how when it comes, just as an aside, that when it comes to Purim, which is one day, we have a whole mesechta called Megillah, right, which is, a 20-something blot, which discusses the laws of Purim. And Chanukah, which is 8 days, is found in one place in the Gemara in 3 pages. Zehu. Person could read through Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, and Shabbos, and he'll know everything, all the Gemara is about Chanukah. So here you have it. When it comes to this halacha, it's very clearly stated that the menorah is supposed to be put in front of a person's house, except for a Shas HaSakana. Now what is the Shas HaSakana? So let's look here in Rashi. I apologize that it's small print here on the left-hand side. So Rashi says, what would be the sakana that would warrant that a person should put the menorah on their table and not even in their window? In other words, bear in mind that when it says here that in a time of sakana, in other words, according to the Brisa, if you have access to the front of your house, you're supposed to put the menorah in the front of your house. The only exemption would be in a time of sakana, and in a time of sakana, you would put it on your table. So now we don't really do either of those things, because we obviously don't view it as a time of sakana, because then we wouldn't be putting it in the window. It says here that if it's a sakana, you should put it on your table. On the other hand, we don't put it in front of our house. So as the Yiddish expression goes, it's nishta hin nishta her, right? What we're doing is neither here nor there. We're not doing either thing that it says in the Brisa. So what is the Shas HaSakana? So Rashi says, the Sakana was Shehayu Lahem L'Parsim Chok B'Yom Edom, that the Persians had a policy, they had a practice on the day of their holiday, they had a religious holiday, Shelo Yaviru Ner Ela B'Beis Avodazar Shalahem. They had a policy that they had certain holidays, religious holidays, not clear exactly when this was, and on that day, their celebration was to light candles. And in order to not compromise their celebration, they made it that nobody can light a candle anywhere else. The only candles that can be lit in their temples in honor of this Avodah Zarah, and other than that, there cannot be any candles lit. Why then would you be allowed to put it on your table? So it says elsewhere, because they made an exception, they understood that in the pre-electricity world, you couldn't function at all without light. So people needed to eat. So they said, all right, you could put it on your table because you need to eat. So that you could have. But you cannot have a light burning anywhere else in your house, and certainly not in the front of your house, outside of your house, on this day. And if you violated that law, that would be a sakana. This is what Rashi says. If you look at Tosus on the right-hand side, so Tosus says, when exactly did this sakana take place? So Tosus says, that this was when the Persians took control of Bavel. That we know that the Jewish existence in Bavel began from the time of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. The Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash was the result of the efforts of Nebuchadnezzar, HaRasha, right, the king of Bavel. But he was not a Persian, right? He was from the Babylonians, from the Bavlim, the Kastim. The entire reign of Nebuchadnezzar and his cronies went for 3 kings. There was Nebuchadnezzar, then the subsequent king was Evil Merodach, and the final king was Belshazzar, the 3 kings of Bavel. And after that, Rabbi Belshazzar, the famous king who was the king at the time of the famous handwriting on the wall that is described in Sefer Daniel, and that was the end of the Malchus of Babel, and then the Persians took control. When the Persians took control of Babel, so it seems that this matzav of Jewish existence there became more precarious, which is an amazing thing, because the Bavelim were the ones who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but yet it seems that once the Jews came to Babel, they pretty much were left alone. So it seems that they were able to practice the Torah and learn Torah and practice the mitzvahs without much difficulty. But when the Persians got involved, then things began to get a little bit rougher. And in fact, they cite here the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, which is not on the sheet, but I'll just very quickly read it to you. The Gemara tells us on Daf Yud Zayin in Maseches Gittin as follows. It says that there was a certain discussion in the laws of Gittin that was taking place among several rabbis. So the Gemara tells us on the bottom of Daf Tezayin Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Adahoki asa hu chavra shakla shraga mikamayu, that in the midst of this rabbinic discussion that took place, a Persian came and ended the discussion by grabbing the lamp. They were sitting by a candlelit lamp and having this discussion. And in the midst of it all, a Persian came in and grabbed the lamp. And that was the end of it. Right? And to which the rabbi, one of the rabbis involved, Amar Achmana, O Betulach, O Betulah de Baresev, to which one of the rabbis proclaimed, he cried out to God and said, Rabbanu Shalom, either let us be under your control or let us be under the control of the Bnei Esav, but not under the control of these Persians because they're giving us too much grief. That's an interesting Gemara in itself, one wants to see as far as who caused greater tzaras to the Klal Yisrael, but we have this on Daf Yud Zayin in Gittin. So anyway, this is what the Gemara says here, that this was the policy, that they were so against having lights that if a person had a candle lit on the wrong day, they would actually come and steal it. They would come and grab it and run away with it. And in fact, we find a similar discussion here. If you look at the sheet again on the second section here in the Gemara, further in Shabbos, where the Gemara actually discusses the following. The Gemara says that Boy Minei Merav, that the question was asked of Rav, Mahu Litotule Shraga de Chanukosa Mikame Chavre Bishabsa. The Gemara here discusses, so the Gemara in this is on Daf Memhei in Shabbos, where they're discussing the laws of Muksa, and the Gemara has the question that what happens if a person had put his Chanukah menorah outside and his Chanukah menorah lit, burnt, and now the candle or whatever has burnt out. But now he has a question, he wants to protect his menorah, he wants to grab his menorah and take it inside his house before the Persian thugs will come and steal it from him. So the Gemara is questioning that there's an issue of muksa here because of the fact that the menorah is a base for something which is usher on Shabbos, right? Because the candle is burning on it on Shabbos, so thus the menorah itself becomes muksa. So the Gemara's question is, are you allowed to move it on Shabbos in order to protect yourself from having it stolen? So the Gemara says the Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, you would be able to do it because Kedai Reb Shimon Lismoch Alav B'Shasat Chach. The Gemara says that one could rely on the lenient opinion of Muksa when it comes to this. But the fact is that we see clearly in the Gemara that this was a policy of the Persians that when on certain days, which I don't know if it was exactly clear to people when those days were, whether it was a weekly occurrence or a monthly or a semi-annually, whatever it was, but there were certain days that they had the policy that nobody could have candles burning, and if you had such a candle burning, they would confiscate what you had. They would confiscate what you had. And therefore the Gemara here discusses that can a person even move his menorah on Shabbos, not while the candle's burning, but after it has burnt out, can he move it on Shabbos to protect himself? Yes.
But it also says that clearly he lit the candles outside.
Yes, so correct. Correct. Okay, so it seems clearly here, correct, that the candle was lit outside too. So what presents itself here is the interesting thing that on the one hand, it seems that they were lighting it outside, right? Because they weren't, they didn't seem to question that, right? That's one thing that we have to take into consideration. A second point that we have to take into consideration is that it doesn't seem, what type of sakana was this? In other words, in the earlier Gemara, we're being told that the time of sakana that allowed people to light the menorahs on their tables was a reference to these Parthians, to these Persians who were apparently doing nothing more than stealing menorahs. So if they were stealing the menorah, okay, it's unpleasant to have the menorah stolen, but that's not a sakana. It's not a danger. It doesn't pose any sort of sakana to a person. It doesn't seem here in the Gemara, it doesn't seem that they were worried about anything worse than that. The Gemara in Gittin, which says that this Persian fellow came in and grabbed the menorah and ran, he didn't arrest them. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It doesn't say here that they were worried about some sort of physical harm coming to them. So it's unclear. So now, Tosis here on the left side, which is, it doesn't belong on the left side, but here it is on the, it's on the left side of the page, Mikame Chavre B'Shab. So if you look at the Tosfos here, so at the very end, Tosfos says, what exactly was the problem? So at the beginning of the Tosfos, he says the same idea, that they didn't allow candles to be burnt. But at the end, the last three lines, Inami Omeri, the Shasa Sakona de Le'il, Rav sakonas chaverim kama, chavrim kama, that the sakona that was described by the laws of Hanukkah was not the sakona that the menorah would be stolen. Ela sakonas gzeira shegazru shelo lahadlik ner Hanukkah. But rather, it was a gzeira, it was a decree, it was a religious decree that you cannot light the Hanukkah lights, that you can, it was religious persecution. In other words, it comes out from this Tosfos a second opinion as to what is meant when the Gemara said earlier that in the time of Sakana you didn't light your menorah outside. According to the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos earlier, the Sakana was not a physical threat to a person's well-being, but rather was the risk of loss of property, that if you put your menorah in a public place, this was a violation of their policies, of their laws, and therefore they would come and confiscate the menorah. That's what seems to be the opinion of, as I say, Rashi and Tosfos earlier. Tosfos here, in his second interpretation, wants to say that perhaps the sakana is something else, that the sakana is more directly what we would refer to as a sakana, which is that there was a decree that you cannot observe the Jewish laws. You cannot observe the Jewish religion, and therefore to light a Hanukkah menorah is banned because that is something that is a Jewish practice and you cannot do that. So thus we have two opinions as to what the sakana is. Now just to bear in mind, just in terms of the big picture, right, we have to realize that neither one of these things is relevant in our time, thankfully, and therefore the question is still going to remain, why don't we light the menorah outside? Or maybe we should light the menorah outside. Because neither of these situations. But we'll get to that eventually. But for now, we have to just bear in mind that we have to just recognize that there are two opinions as to what the sakana was. Was the sakana not really a literal sakana, but rather a loss of property or a real threat to a person's existence? So we have here the Ritva in his commentary to the Gemara in Shabbos says as follows. The Ritva lines himself up, is also one of the Rishonim, lines himself up with the opinion of Rashi, and he says that, he's commenting on the Gemara that says that in the time of Sakana you put the menorah on your table. He says, Pirish, lo sof dover sakonis nefashis. When it says here Sakana, it does not mean a sakonis nefashis, like usually Sakana means. He says, the imkain pashita ba'al mitzvah say lo yahorek. He says, well, if it can't mean that, says the Ritva, because if it meant that there was a real threat, there was a sakonis nefashis, that a person was in mortal danger if he kept the mitzvahs, so then you wouldn't have to do it. Because of the fact that for a mitzvah saseh, for a positive mitzvah, which Hanukkah is a positive mitzvah, right, so then we say, you don't have to give up your life. Right? So, says the Ritva, hard to imagine that, in other words, had it been a real sakana, So then, presumably, the rabbis would have rolled it back, would have said, so forget it, don't do it, it's a sakana for a mitzvah saseh, don't forget, and a mitzvah saseh the rabbanan, don't do it. So says, they would have said, don't do it at all. Why would they say, put it on your table? Says the Ritva, afilu sakana sar o eva kamo bitzarfas. Says the Ritva that what the Gemara means is, it doesn't mean a real sakana of mortal danger, but rather it means a sakana of tsar, that people are going to have aggravation, or eva. Eva means that it's going to create a bad blood amongst the non-Jews. That when the goyim see this, they're going to get angry. You hear these Jewish people live in our midst, and they're a minority, and look what they're doing. They're going ahead and they're making these ostentatious displays of religion, and it's not our religion. And therefore, says the Ritva, that is what the Gemara means when it says sakana. It doesn't mean what it usually means. Okay, and he says, Kamo b'tzarfas. The Ritva, who was a Spanish Jew, who lived in the golden era of Spain, but he knew that in France, already in his time, the Jews were having a lot of tzaras. Already in the 14th century, Jews are having many, many tzaras in France. And he said, that's what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about not that they're going to go ahead and kill anybody, but rather it's going to be eva. It's going to be very bad. He says, "Ulchein pirish Rashi zalkan dahainu mifnei haparsim shleyom enichem lahaduk ner b'shum bayis b'yom yedua shleyom eidam." Okay, so that says the Ritva. That's what Rashi means. The Ritva says that's what Rashi meant. I agree. In other words, the sakana is not what Tosfos said on Daf Mem Hei. That Tosfos said that it seems to be a real sakana, that if you practice your religion, they're going to kill you. Rather, sakana just means it's going to cause bad blood. In other words, so the Ritva is a little bit expanding the definition of sakana, because from Rashi and from the opinion of Tosfos, the first Tosfos, it seemed that the sakana wasn't a sakana at all. It was just a question, you're going to lose your menorah. That they're going to come and steal your menorah. But here, the Ritva expands the playing field a little bit and says that when it says sakana, it could also mean sakana's eva, that it's going to be bad. It's just bad blood. It's not going to be good for the standing of Jews in Golos. And then he concludes on the last two lines an amazing thing. He says, Ulafika chayomer mori haravzal, says the Ritva, that therefore, my Rebbe said the following psak, Sheha'osa ruach she'i'evsha l'adlika b'chutz madlika b'fnim b'beiso. Based on this, the Ritva said that my Rebbe, doesn't name who his Rebbe was, but my Rebbe said that if you even have a situation where there is going to be a lot of wind outside, and if you light the menorah outside, the climate conditions are not going to be manageable. So says the Ritva, based on this, my Rebbe says, you should also light it inside. You can also light it inside. Where does he get that? How does that follow from this? Right? Sounds like a very big leap, right? In other words, until now we were saying that you can have, if you have bad relations with the neighbors, you could go ahead and light it inside your house. Now he's saying if the wind is going to blow it out, you could do that. How does he arrive at this conclusion? So it seems that what he's saying is, that the way the what the Gemara meant, when the Gemara meant Bishasa Sakana, you could put it in your house, was that if it's for whatever reason impractical to put it outside, for whatever reason. In other words, Sakana doesn't mean, according to one opinion, Sakana means that it's a Sakana for Jews, the Sakana's Nefashis. But the prevailing consensus opinion of Rashi and the earlier Tosfos and the Ritva is that it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean sakana as usual. It means that it's just not going to be good. It's not going to be good if you light it outside. For whatever reason. Either because someone's going to steal a menorah, or because of the fact that it's going to create bad blood, it's going to get the neighbors annoyed, or even if it's a question of the fact that a wind will come and blow it out. So in such situations, you could light the menorah in your house. This is what the Ritva said. It's a large leap, but this is what he's coming out with based on the teaching of his Rebbe. Now, this being the case, so this opens it up a little bit. In other words, now it would seem that, alright, so a person in such situations, you know, has a heter not to light the menorah outside of his house for any type of reason. Now, if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, so if you, the, the, the question of how exactly the halacha follows here. So if you look, this is on page 2. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara literally at first, and Sif Hey, it's on the top line, the end of the top line. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ner Chanukah Menicho al Pesach HaSemach U'Shusarab Mivachutz, that the proper place to put a menorah is at outside of your house, near the Rishus HaRabim. Im HaBayis Pesuch Rishus HaRabim Menicho al Pischo, if the house itself goes into the public street, like our houses do, so then you would put it on the entranceway of your house. In the olden times, if you had a courtyard, your house didn't go into the street, but it went into a courtyard, which eventually went into the street. So then, you would put it in the entrance way of the chotzer. And then he says, if a person lived upstairs, a person should put it in the window. But in a time of sakana, where a person cannot fulfill the mitzvah, okay, you see what he says? She'eno rishai l'kayim ha-mitzvah. What does it mean, shasa sakana? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, like the opinion of Tosfos, that shasa sakana means that you're not allowed to fulfill the mitzvah, so then, menicho al-shulchan o'vidaya. Then it's good enough to put it on your table. So, in terms of how the halacha is paskened here, it's unclear, because the Shulchan Aruch, the majority opinion, if one researches this, you will see that the majority opinion is like Rashi, which is that sakana doesn't mean literal, does not mean literally a sakana, but rather it just means that it's not pleasant, it's not conducive to putting the menorah outside. But the Shulchan Aruch here says that in a time of sakana means she'eino rishay l'kayim ha-mitzvah. Sakana means that Jews are not being permitted to fulfill the mitzvah, and in that situation, you place it on your table. Yes.
Why is it being punched that way? Shinra Kaim on mitzvah is because it's very windy out. I can't practically do it because...
That's not what Eino Rishai means. Eino Rishai means not permitted. Eino Rishai means you're not permitted, you're not authorized to fulfill this mitzvah.
Right. I understand, but that depends how you can look at Eino Rishai. Eino Rishai means that the government saying, I don't have rishus, or it's
okay, so it's now...
You
don't
have rishus to do a mitzvah. If you know that, you're not going to be a kind of mitzvah. You're going to go outside a second and it's going to burn out.
Right.
You don't have rishus to do a mitzvah.
Right. Anyway. Okay, so the truth is, you could say that. There are people that want to say that. I think the simple reading is not mashma like that. Eino Rishai l'kayim mitzvah sounds like you're not permitted to fulfill the mitzvah, right? That means a shasa sakana. And the truth of the matter is, if one looks in the Bach, in his commentary on the Torah, the Bach seems to understand it that way, and that it seems that the Beis Yosef, who is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, also held that. But whatever the case may be, the Shulchan Aruch says this halacha that you could put it on your table in a time with the shas sakana. I think the literal Eino Rishai means that you're not allowed. Okay, it could mean the other pshat, but whichever way it is, Rabbi Oster, we have to say that we have to again ask ourselves the question. But none of this is relevant anymore, except possibly for the elements. In other words, what as far as being a sakana, sakana snafashis, surely not. Right? And the biggest proof is because we don't conceal our menorahs. We put the menorahs in the window. Right? If we were really worried about, God forbid, some sort of religious persecution, then we would do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. We would put the menorah on the table away from the window. Nobody from the outside would be able to see it. And you would just have it in the house. But we don't do that. We put it in the window. So we're not afraid of that. So you're not afraid of that. You're obviously not afraid about poor relations with the goyim once again because you're putting it in the window. So why just put it outside the house? And you'll say, well, so the Ritva quotes from his Rebbe that if it's going to rain or the wind is going to come, so then it's going to put it out. So for that, we have a solution today. Right? Which the solution presumably exists in the old days also. That you take a glass container and you put the menorah in the glass container and so, there you have it. So you're safe from all the elements. So why don't we do this? So the truth of the matter is, if one looks in the poskim, this, it seems, is a very big mystery. It's a very big mystery. If you turn to page 3, so the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, which was written by a contemporary posek, but I'm not so much interested in his view per se as the quotes here. He says, if you look in the top of page 3, in the Rashi print, he says, Hine kfar omad bezeho or zeruah hilchas Chanukah. We have from one of the Rishonim, one of the great Ashkenazic poskim who wrote a sefer called Or Zeruah, that he says that v'lomatzamana, he didn't have an answer to this question. V'zelishona, the quote is as follows. He says, v'idna deleka sakona, he said, Arzarua, writing this in, I believe, the 13th century, says that nowadays that there is no sakona, lo yadana my taima ein madlikim b'chateres. He says, I don't know, what's going on? Why do we light the menorahs in the house? There's no sakana. There's no real problem. This is interesting because he did not live in nearly as good conditions politically as we live in, right? Today there's absolutely no sakana, right? It's politically correct to be tolerant of everybody. You can do whatever you want here in this country. You can put menorahs or any other observance of Yiddishkeit. People are not afraid to walk with yarmulkes anywhere and so forth. If people go with tefillin and talis and as I said at the outset, you put your sukkah in the front of your house. So there's no sakana at all. I doubt it was as good in his time. And he's saying that in his time that the people didn't, he doesn't understand why they didn't do it. And then if you look further, he quotes from another one of the Rishonim, the Sefer HaItur, if you go down three lines more, he says, he quotes from the Gemara, and he says, Va'acher shenogu ha'sakana nogu. So the Itur says that it seems that once this policy of Shasa Sakana came about, so it sort of became the practice. It became the minhag to do it. Umisha yochol hanicha mibechutz, menicha mibechutz, v'mlav al pischo. So says the Itur that, well, he says, he offers a little bit of insight into what we do. He says, well, it seems that at some point it was a sakana, and if at some point it was a sakana, so then the practice changed. But he says it could be that we just keep that practice going. But really, if you could light in front of your house, you should. This is what the Sefer Itur says. Now that being the case, it would sound like, and again, these Rishonim lived in an era where they could only dream about the matzav that we had today in the Golos, where you pretty much can do anything. So really, it would come out. Now the Itur is coming right out. The Arzarua is saying that he doesn't understand why we don't light in front of the house. The Itur is saying it could be, the explanation is, because it just became the minute to light inside, so alright, people keep doing that. But really, if you could light it outside, everyone has to make that determination for themselves. That's what it seems. So that being the case, we should probably all go out and buy those glass boxes and light the menorahs outside. So why don't we do this? So if you look further, on the bottom of the page, this is the Sefer recently came out, Kovetz Halachos, which is a Piskei Halacha from a contemporary Posik of Shmuel Kamenetsky, shouldn't be well, and the comments on the bottom of one of his students. So he quotes other Rishonim, and he says the following. He says, he quotes from the Kolbo. The Sefer Kolbo was also written by one of the Rishonim. If you go down to the fourth line of this paragraph, he says, "V'achshav begolos she'en anu yichol mukayim hamitzvah b'shleimus manicha al pesach beisom yibefnim v'afil manicha al shulchan adayos." So he quotes a Rishon who says that really today we cannot fulfill the mitzvah properly. And then he says further. He says that bezman hazeh shemadlikim b'fnim b'pnei chashash shema yichbua hagoyim hadorim beinenu. So the Kolbo introduces a new concern. And the new concern is that if you light the menorah outside of your house, the goyim may come and blow it out. There's not going to be any persecution, but it's just going to be harassment. You know, you go ahead, you try doing a mitzvah, and they're going to try to interfere with it, just like we do find certain situations, even today, with sukkahs, right, where they come and they try to make sure, you know, I guess some hooligans try to make a little trouble. So the Kolbo says that it could be, you'll put your menorah outside the house, they'll come blow out the candles. So therefore you should put it, he says, that would suggest that maybe you should light it inside your house. Okay, now again, it's hard to know, is that the case by us? And if you put it in a box, so presumably that's not going to happen, unless you're concerned that they're going to come and cause some sort of damage, and damage your box or whatever it may be. But this is expanding the horizon a little bit further. So in other words, now, if you line up all the things there are to be concerned about, just to summarize, so we have the worst case scenario of religious persecution, then you have the sakana that they will steal your menorah, or the elements will put it out, or Goyim may come, or Goyim may get angry, or Goyim may come and blow out the candles. Okay, these are, seem to be, in the Rishonim, all modified interpretations of what the Gemara meant when the Gemara said, B'shas HaSakan. Now, it happens to be, so again, returning to our question, what we do, the practice that we follow, seems to be a very strange compromise, because we put them in, we don't hide it. In other words, if you're worried about that, so don't put them in our invisible place if you're worried about the gun. So yet we put it in the window. So now the only thing that would be, you could say would be that perhaps we are concerned with the practice of that the Goyim may steal the menorah, right, which is what the Persians did, or they may come blow out the candles, which is what the Kolbo refers to, and for that reason we put it in our house in a visible place, because we're not worried about religious persecution in that sense, so therefore we're comfortable leaving the menorah in a place that it's visible. However, out of practical considerations, we don't put it outside the house because of the fact that we want to retain it because we're afraid of other things that could happen. So this is really the question that presents itself to us. In other words, so what exactly, where are we coming from? What is the common practice? And can a person say that I'm not worried? In other words, if it's just a concern of the rain, or it's just a concern if somebody's going to steal your menorah or tamper with it, so let a person say, I'm not worried about that. I'm going to put it outside of my house. I'll get a box. I'll chain the box down. They're not going to be able to steal it. They're not going to be able to tamper with it. I'll lock it. They won't be able to get in and blow out the candles. And that's it. And I will do the mitzvah as it was supposed to be done. In other words, this is the way the mitzvah of Hanukkah, we have to remind ourselves, the mitzvah of Hanukkah was never presented with a two-tiered approach like Yontif is. We are in Eretz Yisrael, it's one practice, and Chutzla, it's another practice. When it comes to Hanukkah, the Gemara is very clear. It's supposed to be outside your house. So that being the case, we who live in a comfortable, relatively comfortable situation in America should say to ourselves, so good, I'll put my menorah outside. What's the big deal? Menorahs are, you know, okay, if you have a sterling silver menorah, that's very expensive, so maybe you would concern yourself it would be stolen, but the truth is, to fulfill the mitzvah properly, you should forego that sterling silver menorah, get a cheaper one, put it outside your house, and what's the worst thing? Somebody will steal it, so you get another one for $10. What's the big deal? But at least you'll do the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, yes. Good. So that question you have on the Gemara. Okay, that's what you're saying. Fine. So the point is being raised that the whole issue of putting the menorah outside in general is presuming nisus to publicize the nes. Right, that's the whole way the mitzvah was set up, obviously. Right, in other words, that's why they say to do this mitzvah outside your house, because you're supposed to publicize the nes. So you could just as well fulfill it by putting it in the window. So apparently that's not so, because if that were so, then the Gemara would have said that. The Gemara just said, put it in your house. The Shulchan Aruch itself, which discusses the option of putting it in your window. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you live upstairs, right, put it in fact the Gemara says it. The Gemara says if you live upstairs, put it in the window. So why didn't the Gemara say even if you live downstairs, put it in the window? Right, what's the difference where you live? Why should you take any chances putting it outside? So apparently, the greater presuming nisa, the greater publicizing the nace occurs when the home menorah is outside. So if that's the case, so then today, what heter do we have? It seems very, very tenuous. What's the heter that we have not to do the mitzvah the way it was supposed to be done? So the truth is, if you look in the more closer to our time, the more recent poskim, so we have in the Aruch HaShulchan written by one of the great Rabbanim in Europe at the end of the 19th century, Yechiel Michel Epstein. So he says as follows. He says this on page 4. He says v'hine on the top line. V'hine ata einonu madlikim b'chutz. He said we don't light the menorahs outside. Va'av she'ein sakona etzleinu. And even though there is no sakona by us, and this is a rabbi sitting in Russia writing this. Okay, Russia at the end of the 19th century, a lot more precarious situation than what we have today. Okay, and he's saying there's no sakana. Mikol makom kemad hu meham nimnos. He says, but it's not practical to light the menorah outside. Mipnei shebechol hamedina shelanu yimei Chanukah heim yimei sigur geshem v'sheled v'ruchos chazokim. Says the Aruch HaShulchan that because Chanukah falls out in the dead of the winter, in most years, right, and therefore those are days of snow and rain and strong winds, and therefore it's not practical to light the menorah outside. V'efshel anichem b'chutz. He says, in lo lahaskirim b'schuchas. The only way you could get around it would be to enclose it in glass. In other words, how are you going to put the menorah outside in a way that it will be protected from the elements and still visible? There's only one solution, to put it in a glass box. It has to be transparent, that you could see the candles, and it'll be protected from the elements. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, an interesting thing. He says, V'kuri hai lo atrechu rabbanan. He says, that far the rabbis didn't make you go. In other words, when they made the mitzvah of Chanukah, all they said was you have to light candles. They didn't say you have to go to the expense of buying a box to protect it from the elements. So the Gemara didn't say that. So therefore he says that, okay, so listen, what could you do? That, you know, it's not practical. You're going to put the menorah outside, it won't last for 5 minutes. It'll blow out immediately, it'll get rained on, it'll get snowed on, the whole thing won't be visible, so forget it. This is what he says. And then he says further, also an interesting thing, the old bezeleya heker lemitzvah kolkach, he says if you put it in a glass box, it won't be noticeable that you're doing it for a mitzvah. It's unclear what exactly he means by that. I assume he means because in the old days before electricity, so lanterns were kept that way. Also, in the streets where they had, the city put out that you should be able to see where you're going at night, they also enclosed lights in glass containers, and therefore it won't even be noticeable that you're doing it for the mitzvah. This is what he says. He says, "Ulchein kulonu madlikim bebayis." And he says that therefore we all go ahead and light it in the house, and even though nobody is going to see it other than the people in the house, he says, Ein lachush kol kach, he says, so then put it, if you're worried about that, so then put it in a place where it's visible the outside. He suggests putting it by the door in the inside, so when at least when you open the door, somebody walks in the street will be able to see it. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now, this explanation, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, presumably he says the God is the Yidin, it's not the Goyim, right?
Correct.
So Chayra, the Yidin know that you're not lighting this, you know, eight candle thing as a
right.
Light and as a
right, right,
light.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Okay, all right. So other people, I'm with you on this. And if you look in the Minchas Yitzchak, he also doesn't understand what the Aruch HaShulchan meant when he said that. It's hard to know, but nevertheless, this is what he says. This is what he says. Right now, the truth of the matter is that it's our practice, as I said earlier, our practice is really a compromise because of the fact that we do concern ourselves with the street. See, we don't, a lot of these poskim are saying, yeah, it's not practical, so forget it. But we don't do that based on the Magen Avraham, which is quoted in the Shaar HaTzion on the earlier page. I'm not going to read it now inside, but if you want to take a look on page 2 in the Shaar HaTzion, which is all the way on the bottom of the page, in Sifkat and Lamed, so he says that really the right thing to do is to put it by the window, because if you put it in the window, you covered as many bases as you could, people in the street could see it, and at the same time, you don't have any of the concerns. So that's what we do. But the reason given by the Aruch HaShulchan seems to be, in other words, there's no sakana. He says himself, there's no sakana. And again, if he's saying there's no sakana, we surely have to say there's no sakana. But nevertheless, it seems that, you know, he says you still shouldn't do it. Because it's not, he thinks the reason why don't we do it, nobody seems to know, right? The Arzaruah, writing so many centuries earlier, says, I don't know why we don't do this, what's going on, it's a din in the Gemara. But the fact is, he says, okay, it could be because it's not practical. Now, the reality is, Rabbosai, that explanation is not so geschmack, as we would say with Aruch HaShulchan says, not so easy to digest, because what he's describing, that the Chanukah falls out in the winter, so that's true for people who live in the Northern Hemisphere. But today we have major Jewish communities in places where Chanukah does not fall out in the winter. Like, for example, if you go to Australia or to South Africa, where there are large Jewish communities, right, South America, and Chanukah falls out during the summer. So what are you worried? It's going to snow? There's no snow in Johannesburg in Chanukah. It hasn't snowed in history in Chanukah in a place like that. So what are you worried about? The rain? What rain? So what kind of explanation would that be? Yeah, it's true. For the Ashkenazim, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan, living at a time where Ashkenazic Jewry was entrenched in Eastern Europe, where pretty much after Sukkot, it became bitter winter and it remained that way till Pesach. So then, yeah, okay, this explanation suffices. But you know, what about other parts of the world? It doesn't suffice at all. So this is discussed in the Sefer Tshuvas HaNahogos from Moshe Sternbuch, one of the contemporary poskim, who lives today in Yerushalayim, but was for many years the Rav in Johannesburg in South Africa. And he discusses this question of, you know, by us it's the summer. So why shouldn't you light it outside in our places? So it's not on the sheet here, but he points to something which is, he's not alone in this reference. That other practices in halacha that we instituted, mipnei ha-sakana, where the sakana no longer exists. And one of them is the way we practice today the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we know that the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah says that you should blow the shofar on the Yom Teruah Yehilachem. The Torah says it should be a day that you blow the shofar. Now, being a mitzvah, so we know that the general approach to mitzvahs we have is reason makdimu mitzvahs, that when a mitzvah applies on a certain day, you're supposed to rush to do the mitzvah as soon as you can. And this we all know from ever having to get up early to attend a bris, right, where they tell you shachris will be, you know, oh, Baruch Hashem, we have a beautiful simcha, and shachris will be at 6:20 a.m., right, and everyone groans, you know, I have to be there at this bris, I usually daven at a later minyan, but I have to be there. So you say, what are you making everyone crazy for? What are you making the bris so early in the morning? Right, the answer is not just because people are going to work, but there's other ways to deal with that. You could perhaps make it a time, let's say on a Sunday where people generally don't work, so make it in the afternoon. Right? So the answer is reason makdim or mitzvahs, because the mitzvah is not supposed to be pushed off. If the mitzvah meal is on the eighth day, he's supposed to do it right away. So the question presents itself that why then do we wait on Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar during Musaf? Right, the main tekiyah shofar that we have, we daven the whole shacharis of Rosh Hashanah, very lengthy davening, and all of that is done, and we read the Torah, all of that before we get to the only real mitzvah d'oraisa on Rosh Hashanah, tekiyah shofar. Why do we wait so long? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, that on Daf Lamed Beis, not on the sheet, but the Gemara tells us that in fact there was also a sakana. There was a sakana, there was a time in the times of the Chachmei HaMishnah, the Gemara, that the authorities did not allow the Jews to fulfill the mitzvahs, and therefore they would send inspectors, they would send officers to the shuls to make sure that the shofar was not being blown. But eventually these inspectors would get tired of, you know, they'd sit there for a while and see, okay, they're not blowing the shofar, they'd pack it up and go home. And thus, it became a practical reality to blow the shofar later on, towards the later part of the davening, when it's safe, right? And as such, it became the practice that the entire shofar process, which involves not only the blowing of the shofar, but also the recitation of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, which is the main feature of the Musaf Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, is all done later on and not earlier because of Sakana. So again, the question presents itself, but there's no sakana anymore. You know, this is 2,000 years ago. It has nothing to do with us. We could blow the shofar anytime we want. You can go on the street and blow the shofar. Nobody's going to really bother us. So why is that? So if you look here on page 4, so the Shulchan Aruch says that, in fact, Zman Tekiya Shofar, Beyom V'lo B'layla, that the time of blowing the shofar is in the daytime. Okay, because it says Yom Teruah U'mitzvasa Misha'ola Netzachama, that it really begins from the sunrise. Okay, and even if you blew it before that, you Yotze. But nevertheless, we don't do it that way. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you look here on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, he says that really, if you go to the end of the third line, the very last word on the third line, it says, Miu, Kozeh Me'ikr Din Torah, that the fact that one could blow the shofar from the beginning of the day, that is Me'ikr Adin, that you could do that. Below Oshas Adchak, etc. Avo Chachomim Tikmu Tekiya Shofar B'Musafim. However, the rabbis instituted that shofar should be blown by Musaf. V'omru B'Gemara B'Taima, and the Gemara gives the reason the Shas HaGzeira Haifa, that there was a time of religious persecution, Shelo Yisku Yisrael B'Shofar, that the Jews should not blow the shofar, V'hayu Arvim Lahem Kol Shei Shol Shel Zman Tefillah Shachris. And the non-Jewish officers would come and wait. They knew a little halacha. They knew that Shachris is up to 6 hours, the first half of the day. So they waited until Shachris time was over. And once they saw the Jews weren't blowing the shofar, they went home. Okay, and therefore the Chachamim instituted, right, Lekach Haviruah Lutkah B'Musafin. Okay, and therefore the rabbis instituted by Musaf, Umitam Zen Nira, the Nagu Kol Yisrael, Mimosa Kadmonim, Gambit Kias Tim Yushev, Shlo Yil Min Azrizin, Lamakdimin, Lutkah B'Tchilos Hayom, El Samachutfilos Musaf. And therefore he says that it became the policy. It became the policy that one should light the shofar, that one should blow the shofar in the later part of the day, that one should blow the shofar by Musaf, and because it was originally instituted that way, it remains that way today. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us, and therefore you don't see anybody who says, all right, let's change around the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, let's make malchus zechronos and shofars by shachris, let's blow the shofar as soon as we can, just like bris milah, because once it was instituted that way, it was instituted that way. So says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, he says, well, if that's the case, then perhaps we could say that it's the same is true when it comes to the menorah, that even though there is no sakana anymore, but and even the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, we're not worried of any bad blood amongst the goyim in our times. Let's just assume, and we're not worried that anyone's going to steal the menorah, and we're not even worried about the elements because we live in the parts of the world where the weather is good on Hanukkah. So what then could be said in defense of not lighting it outside? So he says the defense would be because that's the way it was. It's no different than shofar. By shofar also the reason doesn't apply anymore. But once it was instituted that way, it remains that way. So he says. Now, you will think for a minute and you will challenge it by saying...
That's John Ether. I mean, that's what Ether said. Ether said that's what the...
Right, but you're... Right, correct. That's what... But, right. But you'll challenge it, but you will challenge this by saying, but 1 minute... You'll say, hold on, it's not the same thing, because by shofar, it was instituted that way in the time of the Gemara. In other words, the rabbis in the time of the Gemara said that you should blow the shofar by Musaf. That's a din in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Whereas when it comes to Hanukkah, if you look in the Gemara, it doesn't say that. And it doesn't say that was the takana. To the contrary, it says the takana was to light it outside. If there's going to be a takana, then you can light it inside. But it's different, you will say, than you know, what kind of analogy is that? In other words, by shofar, that's the way they set it up. The rabbis in the time of the Gemara, the authoritative era of establishment of halacha, the rabbis instituted that the shofar should be blown by Musaf. But they never did such a thing when it came to Hanukkah, as you see clearly in the Gemara, that's not what happened. This is a challenge that could be made to this ruling, which he himself points out, and intellectually honest, he points it out himself. He says, maybe you'll say that's the difference. So he says that that still does not suffice, because of the fact that we have a Klal Gadol, which is brought in the Rambam, and it's well known that a Minhag Yisroel, that once it becomes prevalent, has the status of a halacha. So even though it's true that it's not mentioned in the Gemara that it should be this way, but nevertheless, since throughout the Golos, as far back as anyone could see, if you go back to the time of the Arz Zeruah, you're going back 700 years, and even at that time, he's saying it's clear that the people living, you know, that we don't light the menorahs outside, so it seems to be an entrenched, well-established practice, and as such, says Rav Sternbuch, that practice should be followed. That's the way it is. It has the status of a minhag which evolves into a halacha. That just like we mentioned many times in the past, that a minhag which is accepted by all people has the power of halacha. So therefore, this can be compared to the status of tekiyah shofar, because even though it wasn't instituted in the time of the Gemara, but it's a practice that has been for centuries and centuries, as far back as anybody can remember, time immemorial, and therefore that's the way it should be. So concludes the Tshuvas van Haga, so concludes Rev Sternbuch. So thus, really, when you go through it, it comes out that the accepted practice in Chutz La'aretz remains to this day to light the menorah inside, even though virtually many, if not all, of the reasons are hard to say why they should be, whether they're still relevant or not. Some of them maybe you could say still apply. But nevertheless, that seems to be the practice. Now you will say, what about in Eretz Yisrael? So why in Eretz Yisrael do they do differently? Again, it doesn't say anywhere that in Eretz Yisrael is different. So the explanation, according to what Rav Sternbruch is saying, would be because in Eretz Yisrael it never became the minhag that way. Because in Eretz Yisrael, in other words, the reason why we're doing it is not had it been instituted in the Gemara, so then Eretz Yisrael wouldn't have the right to change. In Eretz Yisrael, they blow shofar by Musaf also. Right? They don't make distinctions and say, well, we don't live in Golis. So by all, you know, the Gzera in the time of the Gemara was a Gzera that presumably was in the Golis, and we live in Eretz Yisrael. So that, okay, but that's because it's in the Gemara that way, so everybody is bound to that. But something that is the product, something that is the result of a minhag that evolved, so if the minhag never evolved in Eretz Yisrael, so then they could light it the way it says. And therefore Jews in Eretz Yisrael light the menorah outside because they're not bound by this requirement that you have to follow the minhag. This is the minhag, this is the way it's always been, so this is the way we continue to do it. They're not bound by that because it was not their minhag. But in Chutz La'aretz, it seems that the consensus of all the poskim, I researched this quite a bit, and not see a single contemporary posek who says that even the people who live in the wonderful world of freedom that we live in, that who said that today a person should bedafka light outside. Now, the last question would be, I just want to try to make the deadline here, the last question would be, so let's say a person says, okay, so that just means that I'm not obligated to light the menorah outside my house. But what happens if I want to? I want to. Right? We go to Eretz Yisrael today. It's a nice gift to give someone. You go this time of the year, you buy one of those glass boxes. They probably even sell it here in America by now. Right? You buy one of those boxes and you put your menorah there and you say, I'm not worried. This is what I'm going to do. So I will read to you here the Sefer which came out several years ago, Kovitz Halachos, which is the Piskei Halachos of Shmuel Kamenetsky, that it's quoted as saying as follows. He says, Shadavar Pashit, the Imyavuk Bachutz Tamid, that it's Pashit, that if a person lights outside consistently, Ikach Shasha Shami Yignavua Yichbua Goyim. There is still a concern in many places. That, not necessarily every night, but there is still the concern that some hooligan is going to come and cause problems. That is not like we're totally immune to that concern. But then he goes first, and now you'll say, alright, I don't agree. So he says further to this, he says, Umisha Omer, Shetzrichim Lahablik Bechutz, a person who says that I'm obligated to light outside, he says, Eino Mavin Matzoveinu Bechutz Laretz. He says that person does not understand fully the matzav the Jews have in Chutz La'aretz, which means, I believe, as follows, that even though we live in a world of freedom, but the attitude of the poskim throughout the generations, including the current one, is that a Jew has to be very careful not to flaunt his practices in front of Goyim, even in our times. Because even though we live in a world where there is no, at least in our parts of the world where we live, there could be there are places where it's different, but where we live there is no overt anti-Semitism. But there is always the concern that if you're gonna do something that's blatant, you're gonna rub people the wrong way, they're gonna say, what's going on over here? Right, and therefore it was the practice Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky held, and others hold this also, that even a Jew who lives in a place where there is no Erev, who wants to wear a talus to shul on Shabbos, which is permitted even in places no Erev, if you're wearing it, you couldn't carry it, but you could wear it. So he said that a person should wear it under his jacket or under his coat and should not go in the street wearing it. Now, others say that that's because he has the European Gaullist mentality and he brought that with him to America. But the truth is that I'm not so sure it's irrelevant even in our times. In other words, there's a fine line between, you know, freedom and where you get on people's nerves and where you rub people the wrong way. And therefore, this I know is a hotly disputed issue, and there are those people who say you have to have Jewish pride in the same way everyone else does that, but the Ace of Soneus Yaakov dynamic still seems to be alive and kicking even in our times, and therefore he says that he is opposed to a person lighting it outside, even if the person wants to. Even if the person wants to, and then he says further that, especially because it could be that's against the minhag. The minhag is not to do it, so the minhag is not to do it, so why should a person go and openly deviate from a minhag? That's not always considered a good thing to do either. So there you have it. So, In the end of the day, are we out to get to the question of the shir? Is one obligated to light the menorah outside? That it seems for sure not, because that all the poskim, not one. You look in the tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. Also, he said, "I put it in the window, but I don't do more than that." And that seems to be the attitude of all the contemporary poskim, that surely one is not obligated to go by what the Gemara said. Can one do it? So that depends who you ask. It's hard to say for sure you can't. It's hard to say that for sure you can. It's hard to know. So everyone has to, you know, judge for themselves, but there are certain realities, and you know, from time to time, you know, the relationship of Jews and Golos is a very big question. You know, today we're all big knackers because we have Eretz Yisrael back, and therefore we have tremendous pride, and we have such strong political clout and all kinds of things. And, you know, you go in certain neighborhoods where they even have a siren that goes off on Friday afternoon, telling people that Shabbos, as if they were in Yerushalayim, right, even though they're in New York, and it's not that way at all. And in my personal opinion, it's a Chil Hashem that they do that, but nevertheless, that is done on a weekly basis. But, okay, that comes to the question of, you know, how does a Jew conduct himself in Golos today? Which is a basic question that I'm not going to stand here and answer. It's up to each person to think for themselves, consult with their rabbis, and we'll take it from there. Yes.
The obvious solution, in my mind, is that if a person feels so strongly that they should light the candles outside, they should make Aliyah.
Okay. Right. Okay. There you have it. Okay. That's right. You really feel that way? Go to Yisrael. Okay. Or at the very least, you can go to Chanukah. You know, go light the menorah outside. Yes, sir.
It's more important to light
Yes. That's a mogen avraham. It's brought in the Mishnah Berurah, and also Moshe Feinstein said that. Yes. Sorry. Okay, hold on. Whatever. The political things we'll discuss later. Yeah.
You know, in terms of what you said, why it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Because we're obviously going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Certainly, the sukkahs are much more in the face.
Okay.
Abrasive to the going.
Okay, so you could say that. You could say that. That's what people say. A sukkah is worse. On the other hand, by a sukkah, you don't always have the choice. So maybe you'll say, I have no brera. But the truth is, maybe if a person, I'm not, this is a very, very touchy subject. But how much Jews should flaunt religion in Chutz La'aretz is a very touchy subject, and maybe if it could be a voice, so make a sukkah in the back of your house. We have to make it in front of the house for, right? Who said that's the right thing to do? So you say, I can't make it in the back of my house. Oh, that's something else. I don't know. This is a question for a rabbi. I am not in touch enough to say this. I am going to cop out of this point. I just tell you that this is what it says here. It's Paul Kamenetsky, a pretty down-to-earth wizard person, who said that in his opinion, lighting it outside means you don't fully understand the status of Jews and Chutz La'aretz.